I invite you to stand as we sing the Gospel Acclamation on page 205 in the front half of the LBW.
Alleluia, Lord and Savior, open now your saving word. Let it burn like fire within us, speak until
Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Old Testament tells a story about Jonah, and the New Testament story has Jesus talking to fishermen. Today must be the day for fish stories. Though I doubt I can kind of tell a new fish story in this town. So, did you hear the one about an atheist who was spending a quiet day fishing when suddenly his boat was attacked by the Loch Ness Monster? In one easy flip, the boat tossed him up in the high in the air. Then it opened its mouth and swallowed to swallow both. As the man sailed head over heels, he cried out, "Oh my God, help me!" At once, the ferocious attack scene froze in place. And as the atheist hung in midair, a booming voice came from the clouds, "I thought you didn't believe in me." "Come on, God, give me a break," the man pleaded. "2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster." Then there's the one about the church that had to call a new pastor. Over the protests of one male member, a woman was called as the new senior pastor. After the new pastor had been there a few weeks, one of the members of the church offered to take the new pastor fishing. The vocal objector agreed to allow them to use his boat and to go along. The trio got into the boat and motored across the lake. When they got ready to fish, they realized they'd left all their tackle on the dock. One of the men guessed that they would just have to go back and get it. The new woman pastor said that wouldn't be necessary. She got out of the boat, started walking across the water toward the dock. The old grouch watched the woman pastor walk across on the water and scoffed, "See, I told you we should never have called the woman pastor. She can't even swim." In today's gospel, Jesus encounters Andrew and Peter and calls them to be his disciples, telling them that he will make them fishers of people. The fact that we're told that Andrew and Peter have their own house, and James and John, called by Jesus, have hired hands, indicates that they weren't poor, destitute fishermen. Andrew and Peter immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired hands and followed Jesus. There's a sense of urgency. They're called and they drop everything to follow. They sacrificed everything, their livelihood, for this new call. Now they are fishing for people. These fishermen use nets to capture fish. Generally, I think we view being captured as a negative thing. But we also talk about being captured by love. When you're in love, life changes things. And things you once did, you might not do again, or it may change how you do those things. I've had numerous people tell me that how they drive changed after they got married or had a child. Suddenly, they become a bit more careful. Other people are now counting on them. When love has run its course, lives are changed. The two shall become one, we often hear quoted at weddings. Other things happen at a wedding as well. You now have a new batch of friends and relatives. For Andrew and Peter, I believe, being captured by Jesus meant an end to the old life they knew and a start to a new life as well. When God called them, it must have been some excitement for them to drop everything and follow. They no longer would spend their days fishing or fixing nets. When we hear God's call for the first time or the 100th time, our lives experience a change as well. Some of the things that we've done last week or perhaps years ago are no longer as important as they once seemed. Relationships with our family and friends, the community of faith, and God become more important and more life-giving. A sense of hope is deepened as faith in Jesus takes on more significance in our lives. The Old Testament lesson from Jonah that you just heard tells us about how his life was changed when God called him and taught him mercy and forgiveness. You recall the story. God raised up a prophet named Jonah to go and preach to people that he didn't like in the wicked city of Nineveh. It was a message that he hoped would not be accepted. He didn't want to go and went the other way. Next, he has that encounter with the giant fish. Jonah was swallowed, spent 3 days in the fish, and then the fish spit him up on the beach. Then Jonah preaches the shortest sermon in the Bible, an 8-word threat of destruction. And then Jonah is disappointed that the sermon is effective. Jonah didn't want the Ninevites to be forgiven. They should get what they deserved, destruction. Jonah feared that if the people repented, that God might change God's mind and not destroy them. He didn't want God to do that. Righteous anger feels so good, after all. But the people of Nineveh repented and changed, and Jonah found out that God's grace extends to all people, even the ones we may think don't deserve it. God makes it clear to Jonah and to us that forgiveness is for everyone who repents. In a sense, Jonah lost control of his life. In some ways, I think we lose control of our lives when we're baptized. From Romans 6, we read, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." That story, or that verse, reminds me of a story about a couple little girls. One of them says, "Let's play baptism." The other agrees, but quickly adds, "Okay, but I get to be God." What a wonderful understanding of baptism. It's God who acts. It's God who claims us. It's God who accepts us. Then the rest of our lives are spent discovering how wonderful that love of God is, what it means to believe in Jesus as your Savior, how the love of God calls you to a life of denying yourself and following Jesus that directs us to ourselves and to our neighbors and our world. I've always loved that phrase from Romans, that we too might walk in newness of life. There are days that don't go as I had hoped, where I long for a different outcome for my life or those I love, or places torn in conflict. Walking in the newness of life, I like that phrase. It holds promise that all is in God's hands, and every day is a new day. Not only is everything in God's hands, but we've also been called, like the disciples. We believe that God calls each one of us. God calls us not only to follow Jesus, but also calls us into the careers of our lives. Sometimes I think we speak of God's call too narrowly, as it only applies to pastors. God does call pastors and other church workers, but God's call is not limited to clergy. God calls each one of us. Michael Rognes explained it this way, quote, "The Reformation eliminated distinctions between clergy and lay by affirming that God calls everybody. The word for this call to everyone is vocation, from the Latin vocatio. Everyone has a station in life, probably several stations in life, and this is vocation. Every job that works to build up and maintain society is a calling, whether it's a teacher, an insurance salesman, a mechanic, a politician, a fisherman. We also have callings within families, a mother, a father, an aunt, uncle, child. We serve God in these family callings as well." Unquote. I have a friend who's a chemist. He was active in his congregation and in the youth group when he was growing up. He was trying to decide what he should do with his life, and someone suggested being a pastor. He visited his own pastor and shared that he didn't feel a calling to be a pastor, but was interested in science. His wife's pastor told him to follow his calling, that he could serve God with a career in science as well as being a pastor. We all have our callings which we serve God. There are times, I think, when we need others to help us discern our calling, and even just to make sense of life. Perhaps you've had times when you long for a sense of peace in your life, or times when you wish you could hit a pause button so you could get caught up or relax. We know that our lives are under God's control, but sometimes it seems like we're out of control. Yet God is here in the midst of the messiness of our lives. God hasn't given up on this world or on us. God continues to show up where we would least expect to see God, like recruiting disciples on the boat docks, or in the hopeful words of your spouse or son or daughter or friend. The promise of the gospel is not that the challenges we face or the hardships we experience will disappear, but that God is with us in the midst of them. That gives us hope for the future, that we can walk in the newness of life. In a sense, I think we need to be caught in the net of God's love to make sense of our lives, our changing culture, our changing world. We believe that we're being captured by God's love, that responding to the command to repent and believe, that being raised to new life through the forgiveness of sin, not only gives our life hope and direction, but it's a word of hope that needs to be shared with others. Petersburg Lutheran doesn't have a pastor that can walk on water, but that doesn't mean we can't be fishers of people. Thankfully, we're a people who are not like the atheist who didn't believe in God or the Loch Ness Monster until his life was in danger. We have heard the story. We've been given a meal for this journey of bread and wine that sustains and strengthens us for a life of service. We know that God sent Jesus into our world so that we can walk in the newness of life. Thankfully, God is faithful. God will provide for the needs of our lives. Today, we have a calling to fish for people. Today, we celebrate that we've been caught by God's love, and our task now is to find a place along the deck of the boat and help pull in the net. Amen. Our next hymn is in the ELW hymnal, number 817. Seek others, see. I invite you to join in confessing our common faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 127 in the front half of the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.